Chapter 62. Wheezing and aching, Michael climbed the last of the sunset marble steps. Swaying precariously in the wind, he hurried towards the matte black ahead. Pressing with all his strength, the mighty door creaked open. Michael slid through the narrow gap he'd created before the door swiftly slammed shut with a resounding thud. He stared around the vast chamber. It was an exact mirror of the other half of the building, only all of the fittings were coated in charcoal black paint. In lieu of sunlight pouring in from above, gas-lit lanterns hung in chandeliers and wall brackets throughout the atrium. From the shadows came a pointed cough, startling Michael. The clerk was slight in stature and deathly pale. Her skin was impossibly smooth and youthful, yet her hair was thin and gray. She plucked the letter from Michael's gnarled hands, examining it briefly, before returning it with a curt nod. The flickering gaslight above the black turnstile switched as the red glass filter rotated to green. Michael shuffled through and followed the clerk's long, bony finger. Across the chamber, a bellhop awaited his arrival. She, too, looked unsettlingly youthful, yet ancient, and had a glazed look about her, like her mind was elsewhere entirely. She made no eye contact with Michael as he squeezed into the narrow elevator, taking only a perfunctory glance at his envelope, then punching in a level. When the brass shutters reopened moments later, she ushered him out into a dark, curving expanse.
"Which way do I?"
began Michael. The shutter clanged shut, and the bellhop disappeared without a word. Save for the flames, everything in the corridor was black. A black carpet runner on black floorboards lined by black wallpaper hosting black canvases hung in black frames. Flickering gas lamps offered the only illumination, but their light was secondhand, spilling out of small portholes in the black doors. Above each door was a painted glass symbol, either green or red, as with the turnstile downstairs. Michael shuffled along the corridor, peering into the portholes of each door as he sought his space. The rooms were circular and filled with slender mailboxes, as the birth sign had been. Only these boxes were ash gray. A solitary automaton removed a yellow envelope from a box, then resealed the hatch and erased the person's name from the covering slate. It stacked the person's envelope with several others on its desk. In other rooms, people were seated with their backs to him. Some were shaking, as if weeping. Others were slumped, like they'd been drugged or had passed out. A green entry light emerged around the bend. Michael peered through the porthole, spying an automaton behind a desk. Somehow detecting Michael's presence, it beckoned him inside. Michael entered cautiously. The space felt eerily familiar, a muted replica of the room he'd visited on his 18th. Heeding the machine's hand gesture, he took a creaky seat before the desk. His chair was at odds with the rest of the room's gothic splendor. He was sitting on a cheap, collapsible studio chair. Its pale green paint was chipped and flaking, revealing that rusty metal beneath. An automaton opened a drawer and placed two envelopes on the table before him. One was golden yellow, the other deep maroon. The automaton produced two blank pieces of cream paper, along with a pen. In immaculate precision calligraphy, it inscribed a title at the top of each page, then placed them beside an envelope. Joys. Regrets. Yellow and red envelopes, respectively. The automaton held the pen out for Michael, who took it, baffled. There were three bullet points pre-inked on each sheet. The automaton reached beneath the desk and withdrew an ornate hourglass. The brass-plated sides featured a beautiful tableau depicting humans and automatons holding up the world together. The machine set it down with a thud. Seeing the sand drain away, Michael hastily began writing. Joys. That was easy. Loving Kelsey, raising their three wonderful children, his grandfather's humor. Regrets. Michael's heart sank as he turned to the second sheet. For all his joys, he felt equally deep remorse that he'd squandered his precious time with those people. With great bitterness, he penned his list of regrets in a mirror image of his joys. Kelsey, Grandfather Amal, my children. He considered the list, then added a note below the bullets. I hurt those I loved most by living in fear of losing them. It is the greatest mistake I ever made, and I made it every day of my life. A sickening feeling filled his stomach. Michael dropped the pen down and stared at the summation of his own existence in disgust. The automaton loaded the pages into each envelope and sealed them, then returned them to Michael. Rising to its feet, the machine turned a key in an unmarked box on the wall. A doorway made of mailboxes swung open. The machine gestured for Michael to pass through. Fearfully, Michael shuffled into the room beyond, clutching his envelopes. The lighting changed immediately. They were in a vast chamber, with sunlight streaming through painted windows overhead. Michael shuffled forwards and peered over the edge. They were at least 100 feet up. In the center of the chamber, bathing in sunlight, was a vast oak tree with shimmering golden leaves. As Michael marveled, the automaton beckoned him over to the side. A spiral staircase descended downward, looping in great rings to the floors below. By the time they reached the bottom, Michael was clinging to the automaton for support. It must have taken them half an hour to descend the great winding ramp. Reaching the base, they emerged into an earthy clearing where the tree's gnarled roots ducked and dived through the soil. Encompassing the vast plant bed was a gold and white mosaic depicting roots. The patterning disappeared into the peripheral shadows of the chamber, which was itself encircled by coliseum-like archways. The automaton pointed from Michael's joy letter to the expanse of soil. Michael edged forwards, allowing the mud to coat his shoes. Kneeling with great effort, he placed the yellow envelope on the ground. The earth swallowed it immediately, snatching it from his fingers. Michael stared from the soil to the automaton, which was pointing at the grand tree in the center. A nearby branch was shaking. The thin edge of the branch flexed, snake-like with the motion. A swelling bead passed along its stem to a yellow bud. It unfurled into a golden leaf which glistened in the sunlight. Breaking Michael's transfixion, a metallic hand landed firmly on Michael's shoulder. The automaton pointed to the remaining red envelope in Michael's hand and beckoned him to follow. The machine was gliding to the far edge of the chamber, following the mosaic roots to the peripheral arches. Whereas the outside of the ministry was crafted from gleaming marble and stones which expressed the sun's full range of color, these base archways were from an ancient gray bedrock. Each archway was unique and embellished with beautiful carvings, a mixture of glyphs and scripts from languages Michael didn't recognize, interlaced with carvings of humans, automatons, and mythical creatures. Michael's automaton followed the branching roots until the mosaic delivered it to a particular archway. Beyond the stone threshold was a dark passageway, cloaked in shadow. The automaton vanished inside. With a nervous backward glance at the shimmering tree, Michael hastened after it. He shuffled through the darkness, keeping his hand outstretched before him. The automaton's hisses and clinking gears were fading into the tunnel ahead.
"Hold on!"
cried Michael. He hurried onward, yelping in pain as his head bumped against the stone ceiling. He probed the darkness ahead. The tunnel was shrinking. Wincing, Michael sank to his knees and crawled forwards. All fours was a difficult proposition for a man with one arm, and his hybrid shuffle was both painful and slow-going. His forehead collided with something vertical and hard. Michael's hand swiftly confirmed what his throbbing skull was telling him. He'd reached a solid wall. Michael looked behind him. There was no sign of the chamber from which he'd come. He was in total panoramic darkness, and fear was swelling within him. Was this it? Was this his fate?
"Help! Somebody help!"
he cried. Michael could feel the air around him warming and thickening with his own carbon dioxide. He spun in circles, pawing at the darkness. Stone. 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 It was all around. The machine had lured him into a tomb.
"Please, somebody!"
he begged. Something damp and grainy met his hand. He sank his fingertips into the earthy mass and pulled a chunk away. With a desperate cry, Michael clawed urgently at the mound before him, feeling the earth cake his fingernails and crumble across his knees layer by layer. A glint of light appeared through a crack, but his head was starting to swim. He was growing sleepy in the dark, stifling tunnel. He dug faster, grunting through the brain fog. He knew he was seconds from passing out. He had to break through the wall before he suffocated. The crack expanded as greater chunks crumbled away. Something green was filtering the shards of light. With a choked gasp, Michael wrenched a final chunk of earth away. There was just enough room for him to squeeze through. He crawled forwards, emerging from the tunnel into a curtain of ivy. Michael collapsed forwards, plunging through the greenery to land hard on a wooden floor, gasping for breath. Fresh air cooled his flushed cheeks, gradually steadying his panicked lungs. Fragments of red clay from the tunnel covered his hands and clothes, and lumps of dirt sprayed from his spluttering lips. The room was like a shed. It had a low, sloping ceiling and modest wooden paneling on every surface. Glooming natural light illuminated the room via a four-pane window on one side. Rain was lashing against the glass, though Michael couldn't hear the water. The only sound was a faint humming of an engine. Or was it an air conditioning unit? Rising, panting, he shuffled towards the wooden door opposite. He pressed his hand against the latch and pulled. The door didn't budge. By the sounds of it, it was locked from the outside. Michael tugged harder, railing with frustration as the padlock rattled defiantly against him. Defeated and exhausted, he shuffled to the table in the center of the shed room. Taking one of the heavy wooden seats, he sat across from the locked door and waited, still gasping for breath. Occasionally, he glanced to the rain-covered window, but an occluded gray sky was all that could be seen. As his heart rate settled, Michael's mind turned to the crumpled red envelope tucked inside his jacket pocket. He reached in with his grubby hands and pulled it out. At that moment, there was a jangling of keys from the outside. A lock clicked. A latch shifted. The door swung open. In the threshold stood a figure covered in a head-to-toe yellow anorak, clutching a yellow umbrella and battling the watery deluge outside. Michael's jaw dropped as he set eyes on a familiar, wrinkled face.
"Granddad?"